Morning, ladies and gentlemen. I think I'm dressed appropriately for this session, and no, I'm not trying to instill stereotypes. Oh, and I did buy this in a mail store, though I don't have to defend myself. Our next speaker is Hendrik Bird from Gay SA Radio. Together with his colleague, they're going to do a presentation for us. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a very good morning to you. My name is Hendrik. I am the station manager at Gay SA Radio, Africa's only LGBTQ plus radio station. So I'm going to zip through quickly. We've got quite a lot to get through. And if I can, I don't know which button to press. That one. No. Okay. That doesn't work at all. Okay. So, how did we create a successful online radio station, and how do we make this such a wonderful thing? So, like any radio station, when you start out, you need a lot of capital. So, we were very lucky that we had shareholders who were very rich, who contributed a lot of money to us. We went to the media development agency. They gave us a huge amount of money. The Small Business Development Corporation was very generous. They said, here's lots of money. The Department of Communication, they came to the party and said, we have millions, have a few of those. And so we also approached foreign embassies, and we are rich as hell. We have a shitload of money, and capital, of course, is very, very important. So you can't do it only with money. Obviously, you need all the licensing. So that was a bit of a process, but also not that hard. ICASA said, here's an AM and an FM license for you. Go out and talk to the world. We registered with the Broadcasting Complaints Commission. We got our SAMRO license, our SAMPRA license, and our CAPASO license, and we are rigged, we are ready, we are doing so well. So we recently moved into our brand new offices. As you can see, it's a four-story building. It's the latest in technology. Our studios are well rigged. Beautiful studios, cost us a few million rand. We've got six of these studios, plus five drive studios. So we are rigged, we are ready to go. Our boardroom is where all our really important decisions take place. Very creative space, lovely, huge staff. We are very blessed with a huge variety of people that represent all the LGBTQQIAP2 community. So we are all represented there, and what a wonderful family we are. You might have seen our marketing campaign, our iconic billboards in Cape Town, in Johannesburg, in Durban. We're all over the place. I'm sure you've seen them as you've driven past. And so the great news is that in the 2 years that we've been going, we have a lot of listeners. We are doing so fantastically well. We have around almost 5,500 people listening concurrently. That is huge for internet and for our other platforms as well. As you can see, our monthly listening numbers are very high, and the average listening time is very, very long. So we are really doing well. That, of course, means that we've been able to attract lots of advertisers. We have the big names like Nike and all the wonderful vodkas and the branded tackies and all those things. Of course, LGBT businesses are standing in a queue, and they all want to be part of this wonderful success story. And the thing that's really been interesting for us is that tourism has been such a big advertiser. People think the LGBTQ plus market is obviously ripe for tourism, and so we are raking in the money there. So as you can see from our income, the first year, not so great. The second year, okay. This year already, we're halfway, and we're like three quarters of the way of what we've done so far. So really, what we're doing here at Gay SA Radio every day is we create absolute magic all the time.
That's bullshit. Yeah, I was going to apologize.
Wait, what?
No, it's bullshit. I was going to apologize.
No. He's saying bullshit. It's not bullshit.
I was going to apologize to my station manager. He likes to pull rainbows and all kinds of interesting ideas out of his mouth sometimes.
Well, okay. I like rainbows.
Okay. But it is all bullshit. It is bullshit to think that a newcomer into the industry can just get an ICASA license. It is ridiculous to think that... I'm going to stop swearing for the podcast now. Well, for now. It is ridiculous that you can think that you can, in this economy, just get shareholders, especially for a niche LGBTQ plus radio station in South Africa in this economy. It is ridiculous to think that we could even do it that way. But that's what we thought.
Yes, we had these wonderful ideas. We were going to get a license. You cannot get a license for AM or FM in this country. Even if you beg, steal, or borrow, we cannot get it.
Yeah, maybe you can pay a couple million, buy a license of a radio station that's failing. Maybe. But where are we going to get a couple million?
So starting a new radio station in South Africa is almost impossible. No, it is impossible. You cannot do it. There's no licenses. If you don't have big shareholders, how are you going to do it? So we then went FDS.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
If we can't be part of the industry, well, fuck that shit. We're not going to be part of the industry. We're going to do it our way, which I have no idea what way that is yet.
Yeah. So let's look at what we've been doing so far. So how did we actually do it? So what was wonderful is that our CEO got retrenched from his company. That was awesome for us because then he got a lovely severance package which paid for our runnings for the first entire year, roughly. MDDA said no, we had to fill out a whole bunch of forms that we couldn't have answers to.
The Department of Communication does not support internet radio at all.
Not whatsoever. So that's no. SBDC didn't give us anything. Foreign embassies did give us something. The U.S. Embassy gave us a grant, a small grant, but that at that time was huge for us. So that was cool. So we did get some support, but not the typical method that you would expect for a new company.
So, FDS.
Fuck that shit. So what's wonderful is that since we can say FTS to the ICASA license, BTCSA, SAMRO, and SAMPRA don't apply to us either. CAPASO, that's the one that online radio stations have to register with to broadcast. We had to get that, so we have that license. So we are a licensed online radio station. But FTS to the rest because we don't need it.
So that also sets us free. We are not bound by any ICASA regulations about any music, about whatever. We don't care what ICASA thinks. Broadcasting Complaints Commission, we don't care. People say, oh, we're going to take you there and we're going to report you. FTS, go for it. We don't really care because we can say whatever we want on our stream. We are not censored. Obviously, we have some parameters that we've set for ourselves, but all of that FTS. The only thing that we really need to do is to pay digital rights. And that's what we're doing. It's 5% of your income or a minimum of 2.6 or something a year, something like that. So our licensing fees are almost nothing.
So, yeah, I think you can talk about the
challenges. Okay, well, so what is the biggest challenge of an internet radio station? The internet. We don't have fiber. We live in a suburb that's still waiting for fiber. Everybody around us has, but we don't. So we work on a wireless system, and that's kind of problematic. So that's one of our biggest issues. We lose
all our listeners the minute the internet kicks out. So all these wonderful people that are listening to us all go away every day.
Yeah. So once in a while, our stream cuts. We lose everybody. It takes us 2 weeks to get them back. So lovely challenge there. The biggest question we get asked is, what is your frequency? And we're so tired of that question, we go, the internet. There we go, that's our frequency, find us there. The other big challenge is that there's no standard way of measuring internet radio. We're using a system called Centova, which gives us certain stats. We now see there's another system in the US by Triton Digital, which works in a completely different way. And the next session, we're going to talk with Awake Online, who is our advertising agent. And they also have a problem, and I'm sure they'll explain it, that each internet radio station reports in a different way. So there's no one standard way of measuring what we're doing, which is problematic for us.
So advertisers have been a big challenge for a niched LGBTQ plus online radio station. Sometimes people don't want to identify with a gay radio station, even if the person who owns the business is gay, because the Christians are going to leave us. So advertisers have been a bit of an interesting challenge for us. We've managed to get some. We did have two different tourism agencies or tourist-related companies advertise with us, so that was wonderful. The Department of Health has now stepped on board and doing advertising with us, which we'll speak a bit about later, which has been incredible for us. But as a whole, getting advertising revenue into an online radio station is incredibly difficult if they don't even understand what it is.
That is the main problem. We are talking to, for instance, Department of Health. We say, you put your commercial on our live stream and we'll play it X amount of times a day. And they go, what the hell is a live stream?
But
where's the radio?
But you've been playing this ad on our station for the last 3 months. No, but what is audio stream ads?
Okay, so hold on.
So explaining the terminology that we're using, the kind of platforms that we're using, it's all over their heads. They don't understand in many ways what we're trying to sell them and what we can do for them. So that's one of the biggest problems we're having, is people don't understand online radio. When you open our website, the first thing you'll see, and I should do that for you, but you can go there. The first thing you'll see is it says, click here, and there's a play button. People go to our, people with master's degrees go to our website and then go, what must I do? Click play. Okay, how does that work? People would say, I don't know how internet radio works because there are so many buttons you have to press to do it. So we are at the point where we are about to put a pop-up player on our website. So the moment you go to our website, the radio will start playing automatically, which we don't like because we think it's really irritating and people might not like that.
We have to
but
test it.
That's the only way that we can show people, this is how you listen. Just click on play and it will play. It's as simple as that. It's easier than your radio. You don't have to fiddle with buttons. You type in gaysradio.co.za, you click play, and off you go. So there's a big mindset that needs to change and an education process for people to understand that you can listen on the internet. It just doesn't make sense yet. So these are some of our major challenges. Of course, there's many. So our beautiful studios, unfortunately we don't have that. This is my daughter. I kicked her out of a bedroom and said, we're taking over. I'll buy you a bed if you give me the bedroom. She lovely moved out and I still haven't bought her a bed 2 years later. But we have a home studio. We work from a home. In fact, from the place where I stay. So as you can see, we are very well rigged there. We have our presenting studio. That's our studio. We have two computers, one which has the playout software, one which does the streaming. We have a second office, which is our dry studio, where we do a lot of pre-records, interviews, and so on. And this is the under behind the desk. You can kind of see it's very simple. Nothing fancy about it. It's not even soundproof. Which you can also hear the Hardy does then somewhere. Our office is the lounge, so we'll talk about our staff in a moment, but we've just set that up so we can have a few people there. We are getting too small, and we're going to have to move quite soon, and we're looking at those things. So we work from home, we work with a very small team, and we do it all the time, 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Okay, so our name has been a constant challenge. If you look into your programs right now, it says Hendrik Baird, Station Manager, Gay Radio SA. That is not our name. It is Gay SA Radio. But there's been a lot of confusion. So how it first started off was we started off as Gay SA FM, which is already confusing because you're not an FM station. But regardless, we got a phone call from SAFM management saying, you need to change your name because this sounds like it's a subsidiary of SAFM. So we're like, okay, we'll do it, we'll do it. We checked online and we saw that they trademarked the name a day before calling us. But regardless. So we changed our logo over time. You'll see it gets a lot better on the right. The logo is a lot nicer than it is now. But we had a massive challenge with people remembering our name. All the good radio station, gay radio station names are taken. Gaydio is the best name for a gay radio station that exists in the UK. Pride Radio, which is not as exclusionary as our name, which we've had challenges with, I'll explain now, is already taken. Other problem is with the exclusion side, gay. That is one segment of the LGBTQ plus population. It's our core focus. But we've had people from within the community call us out saying, I'm not going to listen because that says gay and I'm lesbian and I don't call myself gay. So, but the cost and effort it's going to take to completely rebrand at this point is far beyond our means. So as we are, gay mean, people understand what gay means, but it is a challenge.
So we were very much hoping for DAB, and then we could do all these multiplexes, and we can have gay SA radio, and lesbian SA radio, and trans SA radio, and bi SA radio, and that's still in our future, but in a different way that we thought it would happen, and we'll tell you why. So our biggest capital, our biggest strength so far have been our people. So we started out almost 3 years ago with absolutely no money, two computers, and a lot of ideas. And we threw it out and said, well, we're going to do it and start it on a community basis and ask for volunteers. So as you can see, our very first employee, who's still our longest serving employee, is at the top there. And that was the day that we made the papers. And this is Ditsego Ditsego, who came with us 2 days ago. She was our first volunteer and our longest serving volunteer. And subsequently, we've had about 150 people volunteer on and off over the past 2 years. So our sexiest one is Wasim, who is a brilliantly beautiful man, a Muslim guy as well, which is very interesting for the station. So we've had a lot of people through, and very weird and wonderful characters. None of them, except one or two, have had radio experience. So we've worked with people who've come out fresh with a passion for the community, for doing something with the community, and these wonderful people have helped us up to the beginning of this year when we in fact started employing people. So now we have a staff of 12, of which 11 are full-time, one is part-time, and then one is still not paid. So we have at least a core staff that we can start doing something with. This, of course, in itself, having staff and all of that, you all know that it's its own kettle of fish and its own problems and all those sort of things. But it's an interesting group of people. You'll see the racial mix is a bit off still, and there's lots of men in there. This is the starting. We are looking to get to about 35, 40 full-time staff. And then, of course, a lot of freelancers and people around that. So we're looking at a small core team, a strong core team that will drive most of it, and then trying to create as many jobs around that as possible with freelancing and so on. Cool. Let's talk about marketing. You saw our beautiful billboards. Yeah. So, we can't afford billboards.
So there was a talk, I think, yesterday or the day before about how good news sells. Well, if you're an LGBTQ plus radio station, bad news sells way better than that. We have gotten a lot of free marketing through the use of terrible people.
There's the first of them. And I raise the button and it goes there. So we had idiot. I don't know if you know who this idiot is. His name is Stephen L. Anderson. He's a huge homophobe. He comes from a church in America in Tucson, Arizona or somewhere. And we had one of my listeners said to me, this idiot is coming to South Africa. He's very anti-gay. We should not allow him.
Yeah. Which is what we did.
Which is exactly what I did. I then went to the internet and I started a petition, and I got 60,000 signatures on that petition to say that this man should not be allowed into South Africa. I went to see the then Minister of Home Affairs, and we were invited to Parliament, where the Minister of Home Affairs then announced that it would be banned and his whole group would be banned, and we got a huge amount of publicity out of that. We were in all the newspapers, we were on all the channels, I was everywhere, and that was a major coup for us. So that very successful campaign. So, and then of course, there's many of them, because then there's this idiot. If you don't know this one, he's called Pastor Oscar Bochart from Cape Town. He's a massive homophobe. He's an Anderson acolyte. He was going to start a church. And then he had this wonderful article claiming that 99% of pedophiles have a homosexual background. I then phoned the leading pedophile investigator in the world in Canada, and he said, this is all rubbish. This is something they made up. Take the man to task. So I wrote him an open letter, which then circulated throughout the press everywhere, and we've subsequently taken him to the Human Rights Commission, where he's just been found guilty of contempt of court, and we have just let them know that he has already transgressed that. So he's probably going to jail and going to pay a 500,000 rand fine. And the outcome of that is that in South Africa, you cannot use religion as an excuse to discriminate against LGBTQ plus people anymore. We've done that for you. So thank you, Gay Sir Radio. So we're using a kind of an activism, a drive, as a publicity marketing thing so that we get credibility within our community and that we are shown to do something that is relevant to the people that we serve.
Okay, so listeners is a word that we don't use strictly, because listeners is one piece of our pie. But let me quickly just talk to you about how our listenership trends have looked over the last few years. So this is 2016. This is half of the year that
this
was measured.
This is June, July till December. Right. This is a full year, and this is up to July this year.
So what you'll see is we have blue is the unique listeners, so the amount of listeners. Red is the session, so how many times they actually listened. Yellow is the time spent listening, total listening hours. So, what's interesting is that our listenership halfway through this year is about similar to halfway through last year. Although, if you were to look at, 2017, we're kind of ahead. What's very interesting is that our hours have gone up. That's the thing that's the most important for us. Our listenership is growing slowly but surely, but the amount of time that people are actually listening to us, our audience is listening to us more. So that's showing us that we're doing something right. But this is still a small piece of the pie. We talk about our audience. We don't talk about our listeners. We talk about our users. And we've got a slide missing. Basically, we've got many different platforms. We've got Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, podcasting, events. What is another one I'm missing?
Our website.
Our website, our blog. All of that contributes to our total audience. We have 25,000 plus followers on Facebook, over 1,000 on all the other platforms. So when we talk to advertisers, we're like, yes, okay, you're going to get your radio ad to our listeners. And now you'll have a radio ad to keep, produce this for you, have it. But this campaign can now live in a million different places, which is exactly what we're doing with our biggest campaign right now, the Steam Room, which goes out once a week, every Wednesday between 7 and 10 p.m., but is also being podcast in 13 different ways, and is also going on YouTube, and is also going to be a blog, and is also going to be a one-minute version, which we're going to try to syndicate into other radio stations to get even more reach. So as much as internet radio listenership is low, and we know this because it's still a new thing and it's also a thing that's difficult for people to wrap their heads around, we are also trying to find ways, okay, instead of crying about low listenership, let's create an audience everywhere.
So we have listeners in 200 countries and territories. Half of our listeners are from South Africa. The rest are from global. And like Ethan said, it's kind of the same numbers, but they're starting to listen more and listen longer, which is incredibly important. So, for instance, our biggest listeners is a group of people in Littlewood's headquarters in Speke in England. We've traced their IP address. And they have their computers on all the time. If our stream doesn't cut out, they stay with us 2-3 weeks. They don't switch off, which is quite incredible. Now, if you use the Triton digital measurement, those would all be discounted because they only count under 24 hours. If you stream for more than 24 hours, they cut you out. So our stats would look terrible when we go to Triton, and we don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, we understand it's because you don't want people sitting in their offices streaming their own stations, producing fake numbers. But at the same point, we have listeners who are doing this outside of us. So, yeah. Listeners are...
And it's also, like the previous speaker said, you have a small audience. At least you have those 5,000 people. There are 5,000 people that think that what we do is important to them and means something to them because they keep on coming back. So that's one thing. How we grow that is still a massive mystery, and we have no clue how to do that yet. It's all a major experiment.
So... advertisers. I think I touched on this previously. LGBTQ plus businesses have been a mixed bag. We've had some people spend money with us. Most of them have no money, or they don't feel the need to advertise in that way. They have their Facebook pages and whatnot. So it's been you'd think LGBT radio station, all the LGBT businesses rally around me. It's not that simple. However, tourism has been a big thing for us. The Department of Health has been a massive thing for us. They are currently sponsoring, as I said, a 3-hour show about man-on-man sex, an explicit 18-plus show where we talk real, like real about sex, which you cannot hear anywhere else. And that's why they're doing it with us, because they have mandates to reach these audiences. But I digress. Awake Online, they are doing a talk after tea. They are South Africa's first online radio advertising agency. They've done their first campaign with us, started this week, in fact. So that's really heartening, because trying to get into agencies as a LGBT business or as just a online radio station, they said, no, your numbers are not what we want. So advertising is slowly but surely creeping, but we have to find creative ways around it and not rely on the things we thought we could rely on.
Indeed. So we're being very creative with our advertising, and of course our content is our philosophy is to say LGBTQ plus first. That is what we will always do first. If there's other major news, we'll probably cover it, but 702 will do it much better than we can. So we concentrate on what we know best and what we can do best. And any story we do, the first question is always, what is the LGBTQ plus angle? Is there something? We're talking tourism? Cool. How do lesbian women fit into that or somehow? So it's always from that angle. I'm losing my earpiece. And then our music as well. We play top 40, and we're working really hard on our playlist. And if anybody knows of a music person who can come help us fix our playlist, we are desperate for somebody like that. But we also want to promote LGBTQ plus music and artists. It's an emerging form. There are several major artists.
Nakane Ture, Troye Sivan, of course. RuPaul. There's many.
There are many people that we are actively finding, looking for, and putting new music on our playlist, and also bringing that to attention to our listeners and go, this kind of person, Anoni, for instance, who did that beautiful song, Drone Bomb Me, about a country being... It's a beautiful song by a trans artist and hauntingly beautiful. It's not something you would hear on any other radio station as far as I know. So we are really trying to push that. We're pushing LGBTQ plus businesses, organizations, prides, all those things within our community is where we want to situate ourselves.
So because radio, terrestrial, traditional radio, is a closed-off club run by gigantic corporations with way too much money, we understand more and more that we have to be trailblazers in this wild west that is online and digital content. So it's all one giant experiment for us. The last 2 years have just been us trying things. We've had like 20 different versions of our rate card. We've changed our programming structure about 3 or 4 times. We changed our entire staffing model over the last year. But as a small business, we can do this. Kagiso can't just go, let's change the entire staffing model of the entire Kagiso Media Corporation. It's not that simple. So we kind of view ourselves and some of the other online radio stations as well as the people who are out for the voortrekkers who are going out and staking the ground first and trying to figure things out, so that when everybody else figures out what the hell we're doing, we already know something and can teach them as well.
So that also means that we're not really radio. We're radio-like. We sound a bit like radio, but that's one aspect of what we do. We do many other things. So we see ourselves more as a digital platform, a marketing platform, with the live audio stream as our kind of unique selling point and kind of branding what we do. So we're saying that all of our content goes onto that first. It goes on our live stream, and then we disseminate it wherever and however and in how many different forms that we can. So we're trying to be really creative, and of course, with our capacity problems, we are really concentrating on our daytime at the moment. The big problem is to have it consistently. When you have a small staff and 2 people are sick, half your office is gone. So this is kind of our lineup at the moment, and Ethan will talk you through it.
Quickly running through. So this is 9 a.m. till about 7 p.m. at night, and then there's some weekend and evening shows. So Workday Jive is a show about LGBTQ plus businesses, economics, financial kind of show, but a bit more light and very music focused as well. The idea is you're sitting in your office streaming us. Here's some stuff that you might want to know about the workplace, and here's also some good music to keep you going. Rainbow Talk is our most demanding show, 3-hour magazine show, which is like every topic under the sun that has an LGBTQ plus focus. So there's a tech feature, there is, oh my gosh, there's so much. There's a travel feature, there is a food feature. So it's like every 9 to 10 minutes, there's a different feature, ideally. So that is our prime time slot, basically, because also our highest listenership is in the daytime. We didn't show our day pods, but it's the complete opposite of terrestrial radio. Afternoon, evenings are our highest. The Gay Agenda, it's still my favorite show names on the station, but anyway, it's about LGBTQ plus news and actuality. It's semi-talk radio to a degree, and it's specifically about what is happening in LGBTQ plus news. Cocktail Hour is 6 to 7 every evening. It's cocktail music, all the old sing-along drag queen hits, really. And then we have Eggs and Sausage Show, our breakfast show, once a week on a Friday morning. Chris Jordan does that. Our only other person in the station who had radio experience before joining us. The Steam Room, this is the show that the Department of Health sponsors. You can find all the podcasts, please go listen, on our website. It's about man-on-man sex and all its forms. We're doing an episode. The episode 5 is coming up soon about chemsex, the world of drugs and sex, and very, very raw and explicit content, but responsible at the same time. Top 30 is on Saturdays between 12 and 3 p.m. It is a top 30 show. And then we have Sunday Stoop, which is African jazz, the idea is to move it towards a LGBT in Africa kind of show. What is it like to be gay in Uganda? What is it like to be gay in Kenya? So that's a quick overview of our lineup. We had many more shows last year, way more shows, but now we're kind of focusing in so that we can make this as good as possible.
So the idea is that if we fix daytime, then we can start putting things into evening. Podcasting is certainly, we want to podcast a lot in the evenings. We think people would listen to that. And it's something we're going to trial over the next few weeks and months and see how we can improve that. Of course, we play music whenever we're not on live from the studio. And we also
news.
We also have a news bulletin. We have three different bulletins, five stories a day, running from 7 o'clock till 6 in the evening. That in itself this week has been a major challenge. We've been four people here every day, so our news team has not been there. And wonderful creative stuff has been happening on that side. So it's a wonderful learning experience.
Yeah. So let's quickly, yeah. We've got 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
So what's next for us? Research.
That is what I'm doing at the moment. I'm doing a master's degree in journalism and media here at WITS. And my research is, how does internet radio use the internet? How do they use it to broadcast? How do they use it to communicate, two-way communication with the audience? So that process is ongoing, and it should be finished early next year. And we hope to present those results next year. So research and finding out what it is that we do, how we should be doing it, what are the old ways of doing it, what can we steal from Springbok Radio and the old things, and how can we reinvent these things and take them and make them new for a new audience. These are all the kind of experiments that we're running at the moment.
So USG is it's a very exciting acronym for us. User-generated content, crowdsourcing content. So specifically at the LGBTQ+ radio station, we constantly get people saying, can I do something for you? I have a vested interest in this. Can I record something in the field? I'm going to Pride. Let me record for you. So we want people and our audience to create content for us and potentially reward them for this in some way. So that is a big... that's a way we want to generate content, give people the tools to create the content that we can then play out on air. We have very many ideas around this, and this is where we're moving towards, because, as you know, to get someone to listen on radio, the easiest way to say this, you're going to be on radio in 2 hours, they will listen. So it's two-way street, get listeners and get content by getting the listeners to do it for us.
So our idea is also to use our live stream as a kind of a social media feed. People are on Facebook and on these things because they post their own pictures and their friends and they share it. And so we want to create that kind of thing on our live stream, that it becomes an interactive thing where our audience becomes participator, becomes contributors, helps us to create those content. And then it gives them much more incentive for them and their friends to also listen or get the podcast or whatever form we get the content to them in the end.
Okay. So the next two are very obvious. We're running out of space. We need more offices. We're running out of capacity. We need more staff. That's definitely a major challenge for us right now. And then I'm just zipping through it because I have 3.5 minutes left. Sustainable income. Obviously, we have income now because we can obviously afford to employ people at really low salaries. But we need to be able to have guarantee that for the next few years, there is going to be a steady stream of that income. So that's a big thing for us. Multi-platform is all we've been talking about today, but we want to get our content in as many places as possible so that we're not relying on people to stream us, but they can find it anywhere where they are. And then
before we get to that, so our philosophy is also, people in South Africa don't have the money to stream. They say, according to research, there's about 800,000 out and proud LGBTQ+ people in this country. If you say 40% of South Africans are connected to the internet, that gives us about 350,000 people we could possibly reach, who might listen to us in this country. So it's a small audience, and 5,000 of them is really not a large impact yet. So there's a lot of work that we need to do there. But we are also going, yes, in South Africa, we are the shining light, we're the beacon, the world didn't end because it became legal, we can get married, all of that. Let's shine that into Africa, let's shine that example into the rest of the world, especially in those countries where there are huge problems. Uganda, Tanzania, Nigeria, Chechnya, China, there are many people that we see listening, and we are starting to get the messages back. We had somebody from India going the other day, Gays Radio, where you are family. I've been kicked out of my house. I have nowhere to stay. I found your radio station. I feel at home here. It's the first time that I feel I belong somewhere. And that one person has made it worthwhile for us. because we are reaching somebody who needs this. So obviously it's going to grow. We hope that we can make this sustainable. And then we learned a beautiful lesson from the new COO from SABC. SABC. You need lots of acronyms with beautiful things. What was his one?
Sparkle.
Sparkle. So we thought, you also have an acronym. We'll call it Glitter.
I don't know what it stands
for.
So
can somebody please help us define it, because we have no idea how to define it.
Gay, lesbian, something, something. Revolution.
Terribly, incredibly rare. I don't know. We'll still figure that out. So we really don't care about those things. We really are passionate about what we're doing. We are trying to be as creative as we possibly can be, coming up with weird and wonderful ideas. Some of them work. Some of them we just don't have the capacity for. Some of them are starting to show results. So it's all an experiment. It's all new. It's all wild. It's all outside of wherever everybody else is doing. And if it's going to work, we'll see.
It's working so far.
What I can say in conclusion is that we're making magic out of nothing. Every day we get to that office and we have almost no resources whatsoever. And yet, every day, we pull fucking rainbows out of our asses. So that's the magic of Gay Asset Radio. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I tend to be very generous with time. Sometimes I'm strict, sometimes I'm not. I guess there's inconsistency there. Are there two quick questions? Cool.
Thank you. I see you guys have music on your station. So I've basically two questions from my side. I'm Johan from the SABC. First of all, with music, how do you get around IP rights? Because first of all, you need to pay royalties. So that's my first question. And how do you measure your traffic and your audiences? So, and three questions. And third question, I stepped in late. Your studio equipment that you use, if you can maybe just briefly take me through that.
Cool.
So it's the IP rights and,
So music rights, as online radio, we're only obliged to pay for digital rights, which Capasso does. So we have a Capasso license, we're fine, we have no issue with that. The second question was?
There was the one about the studio equipment and the stats.
Oh, stats. So we work with the social media company who does all our social media work. So we get obviously a report from them every month about reach and whatever we do on social media. For our live streaming, we use Centova, which is linked to NetDynamics, who's our streaming provider. So we get live stats every day. We can see how many people are listening within 48 hours. You can see the whole thing. So that's all online, and we can see that live as we go along. I can show you. And then the studio.
So studio equipment was basically...
Basically
donated by our shareholder, CEO, for the most part. We're using a DJ mixer. And we've got some XLR, cheapy XLR mics running into that, which then, so we've got one computer which has our playout software on it. All of that goes into the mixer, all of the mics go into the mixer, and all of that goes into a sound card which is in a separate computer which has our encoder which streams everything.
So that's all changing because we're changing our playout software in the next month, and it'll all go onto one machine, so it'll be easier and we'll free up a machine for other things.
Hi, good morning. Sianda from Umdlobwenene. Sorry, I came in late. Simple question. How far is your reach in terms of the South African context? I'm asking this because we at Umdlobwenene, we are inundated with requests from the LGBT society in terms of wanting a platform. Because we introduced a system to say nothing about the society without them. And they have been very receptive of that approach. Now, I just want to understand your reach and how open are you? As much as you are online, how open are you to an African language station in terms of creating content that speaks directly to isiXhosa LGBT society specifically, because there are a wide variety of issues. From the top of my head, one of them is traditional circumcision. how they are treated when they go through that rite of passage, because they are from that society. So there are a variety of issues that are affecting the society specific to the Eastern Cape. So I just want to understand your reach.
Sure. Okay. So internet, obviously, we can only reach people who are connected to the internet. We have, you can reach us on here, you can reach us on our app, on a phone, but you have to be connected to the internet to do that. So this is, of course, vastly limiting for most South Africans who are not connected to the internet and having a cock internet at the same time. So we are trying to find ways to get our content to those communities and also to get content from those communities. So listening sessions and those sort of things, open mic days that we've started doing, these are really important, and you'll see much more of them happening, at least in Gauteng for now, within our reach, and then as time and we have some money, we can go out and do that. Our second thing is our language policy is English, because we are an international station, so when we do vernac, it might alienate a huge part of our audience, so we're careful of that, and we haven't made a final decision, and we might change that. Also, because we've got so many hours and we niche, what we try and do is to niche within the niche. So Steam Room on a Wednesday is for men who have sex with men. It's a very specific niche. Let's do that. On a Thursday, we have Lesbian Honest. It's all the lesbian and bisexual women issues. Let's deal with that. So there is space within our many, many hours of that content. But as Ethan said, we are working very hard on new models to get that content from those people without us having to do too much.
Okay, cool. Sorry. I'm going to have to interject there. Thank you so much. Thank you for being the vanguards, really, of the gay LGBTQI community plus, as well as online radio. Thank you so much.